This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Death is a scary and mysterious reality for most people, but we encounter it every time we eat meat. In Richmond, one woman is challenging families to confront the reality of meat production by teaching people how to butcher chickens in her own backyard. KALW's Ted Muldoon has the story. And a note to our listeners, this story does get a little graphic.
I killed my first deer in the backwoods of Wisconsin when I was 13. This was the first time I really understood the existential price of eating meat, which is death. I continued hunting throughout my childhood and until present day. But when I moved to the Bay Area about a year ago, I discovered that culturally, many people here are not okay with killing animals. This is a story about how our relationship with meat affects our relationship with death. And it begins in a preschool. We've probably all heard children play games like this.
I'm gonna kill you, you're dead now!
This animal's dead, I'm gonna bury her now. This toy cow, I'm gonna eat it, I'm gonna kill it and eat it.
Basically, like, pretend play about death. For many parents, death is a very uncomfortable subject to hear their children playing around with.
They don't even know what they're talking about, but really, they're just trying to figure out, like, what is this death thing that everybody talks about?
This is Rachel Soroka.
Hi, I'm Rachel Soroka.
Soroka has a 5-year-old daughter named...
Shireen.
Shireen is an adorable coiled spring of enthusiasm and curiosity.
I'm a kind of bird. I'm a harpy eagle.
A harpy eagle?
Claws! 3 feet long.
3 feet long claws?
Yeah.
What? No way.
Yes.
Soroka is doing something unusual to tackle her parental discomfort with death.
So we had this like meeting at my preschool and we were talking about how interested our kids are in death and how uncomfortable we all are with trying to talk to them about it because it's horrifying for most people, I think. Like, I'm gonna die, you're gonna die, we're all gonna die. Like, yuck.
Soroka suggested an unobvious solution.
I'm a proponent of knowing the truth for kids. And I'm like, why not show them what it really is? And I'm like, hey, you know, one thing that's been really interesting for me is to kill some chickens and know what death is for real. Like, look it in the face. And so if anybody ever wants to bring your kids and come over and, you know, when I'm harvesting chickens, I'd be happy to, you know, include you guys in that. And the room was like quiet. And then like one mom was like, yeah, I'm in. And then another one was like, that's interesting. And then a bunch of other people looked at each other like, oh my God, that's horrifying. And that's cool. Like, that totally makes sense because it's a ridiculous suggestion. But I thought it would be a really interesting class to sort of go into the horror that we all experience around death rather than sort of keep hiding from it.
Soroka's class is sort of an ethical thought experiment. It forces the question, what would the average American's relationship with death be like if we killed as many animals as we consumed?
I eat meat, and I'm not going to pretend that someone didn't kill that animal for me.
Which gets at my point. So many of us have confused feelings about being a carnivore. Last year, Americans slaughtered 2 million sheep, 30 million cows, 106 million pigs, 8.6 billion chickens. 8.6 billion. That's a full billion more than there are humans on the planet, killed in just 1 year in the United States alone. Voracious. And yet, urban meat eaters don't really want to think about where their meat comes from. What's weird about this is that a majority, like 90% of Americans, will eat a turkey sandwich or what have you for lunch like no one's business. But if you ask them if they could kill that turkey, an unavoidable precondition to its sandwichization, urban carnivores get uncomfortable. Soroka's class has the potential to repair this disconnect. Which brings us to Soroka's backyard in Richmond.
My backyard is a bit of a jungle. I have probably a dozen fruit trees back here. And then the back corner of my yard is fenced off for my chickens, my laying hens.
Soroka started raising hens about 5 years ago. She's currently using a retrofitted children's play castle as a roost.
That is an egg-laying cluck.
Some breeds of chicken average laying more eggs than others. Prodigious breeds can pump out around 5 eggs a week, while others may lay just one. But when they begin to stop laying eggs altogether,
you have to do something with them. And you could just keep them as pets and let them like live out their non-egg-laying days. Or what I do is I kill them and eat them.
How many classes have you had?
One, two, three, four. Four so far.
I joined Soroka for her fifth class at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Who's going to be joining us in your backyard?
We have seven chickens as our unwilling participants in the day, because nothing really likes dying, I've noticed. Imagine that. And we have a couple families. Some people are arriving right now. Hello. Hello. How's it going?
Hi. I'm Megan.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Lucas from the
Lucas.
Store.
Lucas, yeah, totally. Yeah. Hi, it's great
Hi.
To have you.
Nice to meet you.
You guys killed chickens before?
No.
There's about 11 of us all together.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Eight adults.
Did you guys say hi?
Hi.
And three kits.
So let's all meet over here.
Soroka picks out a chicken and leads us over to one of her raised gardening beds, where she perches on the side as the rest of us huddle around.
Do you guys want to meet a chicken?
Okay.
She's called a Rhode Island red chicken. Do you want to touch her feathers?
Hi, pretty girl.
What do you think she's saying?
Oh, where are my friends?
There's a weird mixture of unease, anticipation, and warmth. Most of the people in attendance have not seen an animal killed before, but Soroka still manages to bring a sense of calm.
Sometimes it's nice to say thank you to the chicken.
At this point, the hen is tightly swaddled in Soroka's black apron, rolled over on its back, bundled and nestled into Soroka's lap. Soroka takes the time to explain how she's going to kill the chicken. She demonstrates.
So right behind her little chicken ear here is where we're going to cut.
Even though I've seen and personally killed animals before, the anticipation at the scene is thick. It's impossible to distance yourself from the weight of the situation.
I stretch her neck out just a little bit.
And then the moment comes.
And I cut down and let the blood out.
This is easily the most difficult part to watch.
So what we're going to do is we'll take turns. So two people can go at once.
We move along in pairs. First up is Marie, mother of two kids in attendance today. Her daughters are captivated as they grimace and squirm in their seat. But as soon as it's over, without skipping a beat, they run off to play with Soroka's daughter, Shireen. Marie goes to talk to her daughters afterwards, and I asked what they said.
She just asked me kind of in the corner. She's like, what did it feel like? So I think slowly they'll have more questions, perhaps.
Yeah. Immediate reactions are pretty similar.
You know, it was easier than I thought it would be, actually. I think the hardest part was, like, knowing where the right spot is a little bit stressful.
I end up being the last to take a turn, and I'm left with what is easily the most interesting-looking chicken of the lot.
Is that natural?
This smells so cool.
Yeah. She's black with huge plumage that encases her neck like a lion's mane.
Her name's Tiny.
Oh.
Tiny.
The only one that's got a name.
This is a very intimate way to kill an animal. And there's a striking sense of ceremony about it, too. I tightly wrap Tiny in my apron and settle her into my lap. Soroka delivers some final instructions as I position my knife along Tiny's throat. I can't entirely hide the tremble of my hand.
It's a good grip, and a perfect cut is waiting for you right there.
It's been a while since I've killed anything.
Decisively done, yes. Very good. And so to break her neck, you'll pull back across your thumb and push down toward the ground.
Should I pull back towards me?
Pull back, like, this way. There you go. Yeah.
Tiny's body starts to take sweeping kicks, but she's bundled tightly enough in my apron that I can control her body's convulsions. It doesn't take long for her to unwind in my hands.
So Tiny is now lifeless. So we'll go lay Tiny down with the rest of them?
Yeah, please. Great.
And just like that, it's over.
We have now killed all our chickens.
And we move on.
We're ready to pluck.
The rest of the class plays out like a high school biology lab in dissection and anatomy. We dunk the chicken carcasses in scalding water to loosen its feathers for plucking. There's dismembering and disemboweling. One certain takeaway?
Yes.
Bodies are cool.
You have a laying hen there.
Wow.
Cut through it, and then you can open it up, and you'll see inside everything she was eating.
As we wrap up, Soroka takes a poll.
So I'm curious if anybody has anything that was, like, surprising or interesting or, like, what moved you about doing this? Probably something.
Soroka says that since she's started teaching the class, just after the chickens were killed,
kids would watch and kind of be like, whoa. And they would touch it while it was dead and be like, wow, 1 minute it is alive and 1 minute it's dead. Like, what's that about? And then they'd go climb trees and run around my backyard and play with my cat. And, you know, they were unfazed, fascinated and really awed by it, but unfazed.
Since taking her class, I've seen my own diet change. I eat meat much more liberally than I did before. How do I explain this change in my behavior? Well, it's hard to say, but perhaps because it left me feeling more connected to the meat I consume, if only by proxy.
Feel a little sorry. Yeah, I do. And then I also feel just super grateful when I'm eating them. I know what it means to have a chicken on my plate.
I believe my childhood experiences hunting have shaped the way I see death in my adult years. In a way, I think death is more familiar to me than it is for those who have not killed their own meat. It's something I've directly confronted, brought about even. And as for the kids at today's class, death doesn't seem to be all that scary to them either. At least not yet. By the end, they've already moved on to more important things.
You're pretty high up in that tree there.
Yeah, I can get down.
You got good balance. Have you done this class before?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you like it?
Good. I'm gonna take off my shoes.
For Cross Currents, I'm Ted Muldoon.